you guys are hearing from us all the time, but maybe we'd like to hear you guys also once in a while. One of you would send us a letter or something. Let us know what's going on. Maybe we can pray for you too. You know, not only the missionaries at Spatial and the pastors, you guys also vary. I mean, look at the body. You see a face, you see skin, nose. But really, what gives us the beauty or the outwardly appearance of a person is the internal organs that people don't see. You guys are like the internal organs that pray, work. No one knows what's going on. So you guys are very important. Amen. So like I told you before, you guys are Naomi. Doesn't matter how bitter Naomi got. If it wasn't for Naomi's steadfastness, Ruth would never got to Boaz's feet and Mary, and then David was born because of that. And I believe the woman in chapter 31, the book of Proverbs, I think Solomon is talking about his grandmother, Ruth, always busy. The candle never goes out. A virtue, you can find a virtuous woman. The Lord gave me one, my wife. She's my Naomi, my Ruth. Of course, she doesn't get near my feet unless I wash them first. Praise the Lord, you know. I asked the Lord Jesus Christ before I came to Furlough that he will give me a good message for the church, for Naomi's here in America. I said, Lord, I said, I need one message, one stone, so I can heal Goliath and help the veteran on Furlough. I don't want to just go around churches and just, you know, have a little CC. I said, I want something that I want to be a blessing to the veteran in the States. I said, give me one message. And he said, okay. I said, but you got to get things straight with the brother down the street first. God, what has got to do? I said, give me one message. What has got to do with the brother down the street? I said, well, that's the message. Amen. But I already knew anyway. I tried to act stupid, you know. I looks like I don't understand English. I want to give you tonight a little bit of, it's called preaching morning. It means preaching, but a testimony together. They mean so much to me. And I'm here still in the ministry because... And the brother there is taking over the church, is there. It's because what I did. Listen to the Holy Spirit of God. I apologized to the brother 2 times, even though, according to human standpoint, I was right. And the Holy Spirit said, one more time for me. He said, you want one for the Father, one for the Son, do one for me. You know. Use all 3 pistons in the engine. You know, we got 3 pistons in the engine. Okay, use all 3. Sometimes we use 2. And brethren, because a bunch of charismaniacs abuse the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, we as Baptists run a little bit dry. With the spaghetti or pizza with no oil on it. And clogs up right here. And so, with salad with no oil. You know, put oil, man. It changed the whole taste, doesn't it? I'll tell you what, that's the oil. The oil is good for the engine. I mean, you can have a 4x4 F-350 four-wheel drive, black, nice, and don't put no oil in the engine. What's good is that? Amen? Or you don't put the battery cables on the battery and try to push it with our flesh. You know, okay, let's not see no plow. How is not see no plow? I mean... And we forget the thing. So I want to give you something to encourage you tonight. Maybe someone you already, you've been through some kind of bitterness in the past. Or some of you is going through right now some bitterness. And some of you are going to go through it, some bitterness. By you doing good. I'm not saying you're doing wrong. By you doing good to a brother or sister, you give and receive, you get step in the back. It's not necessarily that you're wrong. Maybe something in the family, if you went on, whatever it is, I hope you tonight, it will be a blessing to you, encouraging this Naomi to look up, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That doesn't, when the brethren, we get bitter, something goes wrong to us, either sometimes we do ourselves, or somebody else is doing. Maybe, I wanted to really put my finger on the fire, maybe sometimes it's God giving us something. But most of the time, I've been saved for 20 years, most of the time anything goes wrong in my life is my fault. 100% and more. Even though maybe because I did it, because the other person did it, but because maybe I started. Now that put a little bit of fire with me underneath. So, and I learned this lesson. The Holy Spirit gave me this message 10 years ago in Sicily. And he said, put this three-point outline on the side because you're going to need it in the future. And when I was reading the life of Joseph in Genesis, life of Joseph. Anybody of you know the life of Joseph? Joseph, amen. The Holy Spirit is on me right now. Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful Naomi here. We thank you, Father. I really thank you. I just put the veil on the carpet and let this Naomi go down the aisle. This beautiful Naomi with the inner man of your servant, Pastor Cole. We thank you, Father, for this beautiful church here that keeps growing. Always steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We thank you, Father. Bet you bless her tonight, this local beautiful Naomi here, helping her to get discouraged at the brethren here, husbands and wives and children. Please help them that tonight you give them holy water from heaven and refresh their spirit, their soul, the spirit man, that to go on forward, encouraging each other. Basing about the message you gave me 10 years ago, and forget and be fruitful. Forgive, forget, and be fruitful. Please help us, Father, tonight to forgive, forget, and be fruitful and go on so we can worship God in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And so as I was reading this beautiful passage of Joseph, I was at that time I was crying, believe it or not. I don't try to make myself spiritual. But I was crying, you know, because as I was reading the life of Joseph, I pictured there was a typology of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet he came for his own, and his own received him not. He came for the lordship of the house of Israel, and because of their rejection, we got in. The Gentiles, dogs, we got in, amen? Praise the Lord. And because of us, we got saved, now we got to go back and try to win them. Also pray for the peace in Jerusalem. Also pray for Ishmael. Ishmael. I was bitter about 2-3 years ago after what happened 9/11. I was bitter at all the Muslims across the board. And so the whole Spirit of God let me go on a couple months with that, with the anger inside, you know. And then he got me and said, okay, you done now? Yeah. I said, listen, if it wasn't for this book, you'd be worse than Saddam Hussein. You'd be worse than Bin Laden. You'd be treating your wife like pig. Yes, you don't eat pork, but they treat the wife and children like pigs. I said, you'd be the same thing. Instead of wasting time angry at this, why don't you go there and try to have a coffee with them? Why don't you go witness to them? Instead of wasting your time grinding your teeth, and why don't you go over there and try to win them? But if you can then pray for them. We got, like over here in America, we got a lot of Mexicans coming up. Bethlehem, we got a lot of Muslims coming up to Sicily by boats. In the middle of the winter time, where there's a big waves in the Mediterranean Sea, they go with a boat, maybe from here to the door there. Women and children, and some old people. And they tell them, go. If you go to Sicily, go ahead. Start getting ground. But if you die, you'll go with Allah. And they go, like this. No hope, no salvation. Deceived from Satan. Snare. Blinded. So we have to pray that the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God gives me power to start something with the Muslim in Sicily. I've been learning a little bit French. A lot of Muslims know French. It's too hard to go straight ahead with Arabic language. It's too hard. But a lot of them, they know how to speak French because a lot of the Muslim countries are French. It used to be French colonies. So, well, I can get in through them, through the French. And please pray, because what I find out is that it's up to the missionary to make things happen for the Lord Jesus Christ, if he let the Holy Spirit guide them. Jude says compassion makes the difference. James says that mercy rejoiceth against judgment. I want to give you a little example tonight about having two chairs. This chair, we use it as a judgment seat. And we use this as a mercy seat. Judgment seat and mercy seat. Don't get me wrong, the spiritual judges everything, right? All things. It doesn't say judgeth man. Judge things. If we judge man, you know what happens? That we're going to, dispensationally, we're going to fall off. We become the great white throne, or the judgment seat of Christ. That's not our seat. That's Christ's seat, right? So in the dispensations, how Jesus saved us? By out of this seat, or this seat? The mercy seat. Mercy seat? So he saved us out of the mercy seat, and we run our Christian life. This beautiful seat here. Judgment seat. Nice, isn't it? That's what makes the difference. Yes, brother, listen now. What you said is wrong. We don't say, brother, you're wrong. They say, brother, what you said is wrong. What you did is wrong. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I said, what you did. And if it's spiritual, it says, he dissects. If it's wrong, he says, oh, yeah. You tell me I'm wrong. No, I say, I'm not saying you're wrong. I say, what you did is wrong. Amen? Why? Because if you say that he's wrong, our fellowship breaks down. But if you say, brother, what you did is wrong, okay, I'm judging the fault, but I'm still in fellowship with him. There is no divisions and banana splits all over the place and start another little church down the street. You don't need that. And forgive, forget, and be fruitful. Forgive, forget, and be fruitful. Let's go. I'm going to give you one verse in the Old Testament and one in the New. One in the Old, one in the New. One in the Old, one in the New. Something light. Light. Amen. Because if we eat too much, we can't even move at times. So something light and very balanced. And in Genesis chapter 50, life of Joseph. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I already have to apologize to you the way I speak, that I know really maybe bothers you, my accent. I go to Sicily and they think that I have also an accent. Anywhere I go, I got an accent. I hope one of these days there will be no more accents. No accent whatsoever. So please forgive me, forget, and be fruitful yourself. Amen. So, one was a church down in Florida that this veteran hadn't seen me for 13 years too. So I came in, and so, the Lord is blessing me with 8 children. I figured this brother gave me 10 minutes to whatever God has been teaching me. So he let me preach them, and then after the message, and I'm judging what he said, that I said, brother, you were not supposed to preach tonight. I said, brother, I told you, can I go on? He said, let me say yes. I said, judging the action. Let's turn the thing around. Our church in Magdala supports Pastor Cole, and he starts a church in Eden, New York, right? I haven't seen him for 13 years, him and his wife and the children. They come back to Sicily to report what his work has been doing here in Eden, New York, right? He goes back after 13 years and starts coming in. And he's got 8 children. I said, I think Pastor Cole, you know, he might have some experiences, amen? He got to have something to say, this brother. And then me, I act like a fool. Amen. Brother, Pastor Cole, you were not supposed to preach tonight. I mean, I'll never see him again for another 10 years, probably. And I have enough guts to tell this brother, you were not supposed to preach tonight. What I'm talking about is sometime, you know why? I preached the message. And the brother, other pastor told me that he's going through that kind of stuff, bitterness. I said, brother, would you please forgive me, forget, and be fruitful? He's going through it. So, brother, when something goes wrong in your life, either get bitter or get better. Very easy. Easy algebra. Not too. You don't have to go to Bible school to do that. And so, Genesis 50. See, Bible school is good, brother. You've got to have knowledge, but never teach you these kind of things. This is a by experience. By experience. Genesis 50. Here, daddy sent the rest of the family to go to Joseph and to get some food and tell them to forgive them because they knew that they were wrong. And so, in verse 17, Genesis 50, 17, the word of God says, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the transgressor of the brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the transgressor of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. Look at verse 18. I repeat 18, brethren. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. Do you guys remember why the brethren wanted to try to kill him? Because Joseph told his brethren that you guys are going to bow down to me. And Papa and Mom are going to bow down to me. And you, see what happened? Did God win? God won. So, we're going to get another little lesson on sight. When God tells us something to do, and we don't do it, guess what? God is going to do it. So, why don't we just lay down the line and say, Lord, instead of, you know, like Jonah, running away from God, say, Lord, in the eyes of the Lord, that I in every place behold the evil and the good. So, Lord, I think, well, I'd be foolish if you had tried to run away. I mean, going down up in Angola or go down up into Buffalo, it really doesn't change. You still see me. So why got to wait? I tell you what, thy will be done. Amen. Let's do it. Because if God tells you something, brethren, for you specifically, he's going to do it. So why you have to end up in a hospital, you know, looking up in an accident, or get the cops and you end up in a jail in order for you, I wish I should have listened to God first. So, but why don't you lay down the line? You know, why don't you eat fish instead of let the fish eat you? We have to be in charge. God gave us the power to be in charge over the nature. But when we disobey, the nature overcharges us, gets scared. Even the animal gets scared from us. And so he said, and Joseph said unto them, verse 19, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you know, I wish the Pope would say something like that in the Vatican. And I wish he would be honest himself. You know, what? No, kiss the finger, man. Kiss it. Bow down to me, you know. For am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God mean it. Mean it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now, therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Would you believe that? I mean, would it be any church splits if every brother act this way? This Joseph had no Holy Spirit yet. I believe he, whatever happened to him, I think he quoted Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to those who love God. But you know why it became so fruitful in Egypt? Because it never got bitter. It got better. Also, the reason that he also never got bitter, because when those brothers and their parents bowed down to him, he remembered that God told them the vision was fulfilled before his eyes. So he was so wound up, so happy that the promises of God, his mind was in the promises that God gave him, that he was too busy. I love thy word and nothing shall offend me. He already did what David wrote years later. Better would be known. And where his brethren was not the Philistines or the Amalekites or the Egyptians, was his brethren. And brethren, you already have to do that. That sometime a brother or sister hurts us, or we hurt them too. Maybe immaturity, inconsideration. Maybe they did it out of ignorance. So we gotta, you gotta forgive that. There is no room for that. Because now, parallel with this, let's go gently to Ephesians chapter 4. And the Holy Spirit here says to Paul, see what it says. Better, because of fear, we have to be always abounding in the work of the Lord, unmovable, steadfast. Better, we have to learn how to forgive. You have to, not that I speak in respect to one, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am, there to be content, Paul says. Brother, it's nothing wrong to be hard, because we were born that way. I call one time a Muslim, amen. I don't have to read the Quran to be a Muslim. Already was born Muslim, hater, born to kill, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. I didn't have to read the Quran to be a Muslim. I'm already. It's in the blood of Adam, Cain. We don't have to be a Muslims to act Muslims. We can do it with the Bible in our and treat our hands. Because who let the old... Muslim is a typical old man, the old creature, the animal side. No chance. No chance for the old man. Always judging, hating, discriminating, just a mess, instead of this one, walk in the Spirit and fulfill not the lust of the flesh. The old flesh always wants killed. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Brethren, it doesn't say, and grieve not the Lord Jesus Christ. I repeat again, because a bunch of charismaniacs, Pentecostals, they abuse the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. In other words, because of some people that didn't know how to cook pizza, I use pizza and spaghetti in my messages, amen, please forgive me. Because of someone didn't know how to cook pizza, everybody now says, well, pizza's not good. What? The dough, it's nothing wrong with the dough. It's something wrong with that one, the person that he make the pizza. Why don't you let the Holy Spirit help me to knead this dough the right way, make it whole wheat dough, whatever you want to do. Whatever you got to do. I said, please help me go to the creator of the dough, and he'll help you out to mix it nice. And so you don't burn the pizza and make people live by feeding them. And so grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of the redemption. Picture a tuna. A can of tuna. can, sealed. Can the tuna open up the can and get out? No. He's got to be somebody from the outside to open up the tuna. That's why once you save, you always save. Thank God for that. You always don't open up the tuna can, him again. Somebody from the outside. So how can you lose your salvation? I call this that, but did you still saved? You know why? Because a man like to believe that. Because of their luck, they love to be under the law. Since they got a witness with the world, the flesh, and the devil in part of life, so be them under the law, they feel like, okay, and they're not going to endure until the end, so the law helps me to stay clean and not to give in and sin. Yeah, but you become a Pharisee. You don't walk in grace, you walk under the law. And cursed is he who is under the law. They were cursed. The children never walk with God because it's under the law. They jump off the ships, like some brother did it. You know, jump off the ship. Why? Under the law. Law, law, law. What about you see under the bitterness? 31, look at this. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. This is the weeds that is in this chair. Judgment seat, all here. Now look with the attributes on this chair. Verse 32 says, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, is forgiving you. Why I never had victory, why I never picked up the fruit of verse 32? Because I never got rid of those weeds in verse 31. And the reason why I never got those weeds in verse 31, because I never turned the tiller, I never got the John Deere on, because I was doing it without the power of God. Beautiful, you know, John Deere, 4x4, you know, the wheels are higher than me. Always, while I was young, the family was young, my family is push, man, let's plow. Everybody, push this John Deere with our own power, with the arm of the flesh. My mom is going to be 50 next week. My children are getting eight. I can't do this with my flesh anymore. I better get some getting used to some head instead of my back. It's about time now. Why don't you ask me? I will give you power to be a good father. Why don't you ask me to be a good, give you the power to be a good preacher, a good missionary, a good brother, a good husband, a good father. What did you give? Ask, and I should be giving you. Ask. I give you the power. The Holy Spirit says, sell. He says, if Jesus told the apostles to wait in Jerusalem for the power before you go out and preach the gospel, If Jesus told them, I mean, I'm talking about the apostles here. You understand? Yes, the apostles. And if the apostle had to wait, hold off, for the power of the Holy Spirit to come down, what do you think you're going to need to Sicily? I mean, you got the same gospel as the apostle got. You got the same gospel. You mean the Lord gave them a big kamatsu, you know, 50-foot rich, and to you he's going to give you a little pick. No, to dug up this foundation. That because a bunch of charismatics, they abuse the machine. No machine. Let's dug up my hand now. On your own power. And just as I am, and wicked. And just as I am. And we live the life in Romans chapter 6 and 7. Oh, wretched man that I am. And this over here, and over here. Oh, the things that I do, I should do. Those I do, and those that I should not do, I do it. Oh, wretched man that I am. Here I am. Oh, what a Christian life. Cheerful. Because we're living in Romans chapter 6 and 7, not a defeat Christian. Instead, filled with the Holy Spirit, and we fight like in F-16. Yes. Hallelujah. Enjoying life. Because the reason we get upset, because we try to do our job without the Holy Spirit, without the oil, and we squeak. Picture a door, put the WD-40, squeaks. But now we squeak. Ah, ah. What? No Holy Spirit. No Holy Spirit. Smoke coming out of the pipe. The pistons are getting all consumed because you got enough oil in there. Amen. WD-40. My WD-40 is a 1611 weight. I mean, a V-1611 weight, not in WD-40. KJ V-1611, that's a really good motor oil, man. Super speed, I mean, I'll tell you what. You win every time, man. You win. You win every time. And so, brethren, let's not grieve the Holy Spirit and listen to Him so we get this bitterness out, wrath and anger and flame and evil speaking to be put away from us with all malice. And let's be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Why? Even as God, for Christ's sake, is forgiving you. Now, once you've forgiven this, you have to forgive. You've forgiven the brother or sister, or it's a situation that came into your life. Forget it now. You have to forget it. Genesis 41. So God, once saw that Joseph forgave, He gave him two sons. And guess what the two sons, they mean? The first son means forget, and the second son means fruitful. Hallelujah. Well, he's wrong. He was wrong. Well, she was wrong. Really, it doesn't matter. Brother or sister, you got to forgive the brother or sister. You know why? For your own good. Not because of the person, the brother, deserves to be forgiven. No. For your own health, spiritual and physical health. Why, if either person did wrong to you, why would you want to die early and get your blood pressure to go up instead of getting medication and this and that and changing the room in the house or the carpet? So, you know, it doesn't do anything. The Lord Jesus Christ forgave us because we deserve it? No. He did it because the Father said, go down and do your job. Save your creation. Amen? Even though we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get right in order for Him to forgive us, did He? No. While we were sinning under the darkness of Satan, He did His job. Well, the gospel says, Jesus said, if your brother comes to you and repents, you forgive him. If he doesn't come, then you don't forgive him. Do we live by the Gospels or by the Epistles? If the Gospels lines up with the Epistle, then whatever is in the Gospel, the Epistle. You know, the God changed the minds three times in the Bible. He said in the Old Testament, the Gospels, and then the Epistles. Because he saw that the law didn't work there. Okay. The gospel, he came in. Well, that didn't work now because the Jews, they didn't obey him as a Messiah. Didn't take it. So, and then the epistles. Okay. Third time, he changed again. Is the Bible wrong? No. But because we are wrong, God had to change sometimes three times. I said, a doctrine of forgiveness. I know a lot of Italians for 30, 40 years. They don't forgive their son. They don't forgive their mother. So what's wrong? So why would I say, keep doing the same disease, to not forgive my brother and my daughter? Why? Why would you not get sick if she did wrong or if he did wrong? Forgive them. Let the door be open. The first son. Genesis 41. Look at this blessing here. Because of Joseph forgave. Look at God gave him two beautiful sons. Genesis 41, 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, had made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Father, please help me to forget all my toil. Please help me to forget this brother. Help me to forget this sister. Help me to forget the pastor. Help me to forget his wife. Help me to forget, please, whatever it is, please help me to make me forget all this toil. And God will hear the prayer. You can, we cannot do it in our own flesh, my friends. We don't have the need. We need the help of God. And so, on this forgetting, Philippians chapter 3, let's digest it now with the New Testament. Philippians chapter 3, on this forgetting thing, doctrine of forgetting. The doctrine of forgiveness, the doctrine of forgetting, it's also doctrine, my friends. That's why we don't, sometimes we forget, because we think, no, that's a doctrine, the doctrine of forgetfulness. We have to forget. Because, brethren, did God forgive you all your sins? Yes. Did he forget or still remembers? Does he still remember? No. He threw them away, man. They undrink the blood. Actually, they're not even drink the blood, because they're still there. They're gone. My sins are gone. He forgot. God forgot what I did. He forgot. So who am I that I should not forget, let's say, you pastor's fault? Who am I? I'm going to stand over here, this chair right there. No. Mercy. Help us, Lord, help us. So in Philippians chapter 3:13, look at this. Brother Seth, would you please read this for us? Philippians chapter 3:13 and 14. Thank you.
Brother, I count not myself as an apprehension, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ.
But I read those verses before. Never mean anything. They should make a difference tonight. Because now you got the right formula. You got the right ingredients. You forgave. Now, forget. But they're commanding me to help. Ask God to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. You can talk to the Holy Spirit, believe it or not. Why? Well, I quench him. I grieve him. That means he speaks to me. And what kind of man, he's a man, he's a person, right? So that means he's got ears. Stephen was talking, preaching to the Jews in Acts chapter 7. It says, you always resisted the Holy Ghost. Doesn't say resist the Lord Jesus Christ. You always resist the Holy Ghost. When Ananias and Sapphira lied, why did you lie to the Holy Ghost? Oh, you mean to tell me that after the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is gone? No, Jesus left. He sent the Holy Spirit here. The Lord left, and I thought the Holy Spirit took over. And right now he mediates for the church, for us. That's why the church spirit, he there in the spirit, you there are spiritual, you the brother offender, you go to him. You there, you got to go to him. No, him, he's in darkness. You got to go to him. Sal, you're wrong. I'm wrong. Jesus, the right. Yeah. Do you went to heaven and ask forgiveness? All the righteous Jesus came to you where you were in a mighty clay, in a wet hell, did he came to his? So who make the move? The righteous or the unrighteous? The righteous. So Sal, since you're the righteous, why don't you go to your brother and ask him? Everything is fine. You know his bitterness. You know Satan is ready to come back from the field because of what happened. He knows he's wrong. Like, go there and help him. A third time. Go. You got to help me. Yes, I'm here to help you. Let's go. Matter of fact, why don't you bring my cake? And sweeten up the meal. I mean, not only I got to go down, I got to bring my cake too. Yeah, the Lord gave you the two. The Lord came to you. You accepted. Yes. He gave you a wife. Yes. He gave you 8 tomatoes. Yes, 8 children. And he gave you the whole mission field over there in Sicily. You came for a glass of water, and I gave you eternal life. Then I've been good to you. Why don't you do that to your brother? And go ahead. Ravish him with the love of Christ. Why don't you do that? Amen. Holy Spirit, help me. And I was shaking. Because I watched the Holy Spirit. I watched in me. And guess what? This brother is going to be the pastor teacher of the little church in Mazara. What a blessing. What a blessing. But if he wouldn't have done that, veteran, he would be here again. Pushing carts forward in the Walmart shopping center. If he didn't listen to the Holy Ghost, if he would have grieved the Holy Ghost, I would have lost the brother. Oh yeah, Sally's got good ministry going on in Sicily. Yeah, but deep in me, deep in my soul, I would not live right for the rest of my life because I didn't went to get the brother from the hands of Satan. You guys would have never known that. Can't live with it myself. Because I want to get some trophies over there to bring to Jesus' feet one day. I want to run the race lawfully, not with the foot sticking out. You know, I got the ball. And so I started running back towards the goal line. So my foot went out of the line. At 3-yard line, my foot went out. Yeah, I went 99 yards. I got a touchdown. My call back. Your foot went out of line. At 3-yard line, you out. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, brethren. People got saved. Yeah, but deep inside, souls got saved. But really, you're not going to get a reward because you ran the race unlawfully. I tell you what, brethren, he was the power, I was him. Just what I did, I just obeyed the Holy Spirit. It looks like he put me, have you seen those, some of you get sometime x-rays, and they put the vast lead heavy, like the Holy Spirit put me a lead vest on top, back and behind. I was just, wow. Help me, Lord. Thank you. And gain a brother. And now, what a blessing. Because I listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, since I forget, now we're going to press. We're going to press the gas. We're going to go forward. But brethren, don't press forward unless you forget. Because if you don't forget, you're going to look back always like that's life. And you're going to hit somebody here. Because you're still looking back. Bethany, we got to look forward. Because the Bible says there, no man, go with me a little bit, Luke chapter 9 about the plow man looking back. Please stay with me a few more minutes, and it'll be a blessing. I don't know what's going to be next time you're going to listen to me. Hope will be in heaven. Maybe just comes back by then. But Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, 61 and 62. This is a test of discipleship. It's not salvation. Just discipleship. And verse 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me go. Now let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man have put his hand to the plow, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And as you know now, until the kingdom, real kingdom will come, you know that Jesus said the kingdom of God is in us right now. Amen. So what happened? That I will never have peace in this my little kingdom here between these ribs. If you always look, I don't forget, I was looking back what happened. I can have a little kingdom here. Brethren, and every each one of us, we got a little kingdom here. In order to have you this happiness, a little kingdom, just inside you, the ribs, the heart, and your spirit, just be happy, like you have a little, like you're in a millennium. Happiness. Wow, and Jesus is a governor. We can have that if you're always looking back and the roads be all twisted. We have a crooked Christian life instead of nice and straight. We have to forget. And so automatically, better when you forget, look at the second son of Joseph. Go back again with me. in Genesis 41:52, the second son. I don't want to put the finger, brethren, but I wonder sometime, I can tell that when me and my wife in the past, we get a little bit bitter. There is nothing in the bedroom going on. If we don't get along in the kitchen, if we get the back room back there. Nothing can do that. Maybe I wonder sometimes if some women, I'm sure, please forgive me, forget. Maybe you know a lady, a sister, maybe can have no children. Pray with her, maybe she'd have bitterness. I'm using the one of the wives of David. Oh, one of the wives, we don't have more than one wife. Yeah, are you David? Saul's daughter. She got bitter at him because he was dancing, you know, hallelujah, because they had a victory. And she looked from the window in the high places, like a book of Proverbs, you know. She sits in the high places. And she was bitter. There, look at that guy. Look, he was mocking the servant of God. You know what? The Bible says that he had no children from her. She got bitter. Bitterness. If you know a sister or whatever, they can have no children. Pray with her. Maybe there is bitterness inside. That she just forgets. Forgives her husband and forgets completely everything. And pray for him to get saved. So the second son, verse 41:52. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God had caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. I have a little garden, and sometimes I have to afflict the tomato plants in order to produce tomatoes. If you always keep on giving water, if some of you have got to go to the bathroom, please go. If you keep on giving water to the tomatoes, you eat up, but 8 foot tall tomato plants, but you know what? No tomatoes. Because when the flower is out of the tomato plant, you got to stop giving water. Scratch it. But if you give water, as soon as there is a flower, the plant spits out the fire and falls down. That's why sometimes women that you go through a lot of hardships in your life, you work hard, you do this, you do that. You know, you got a bigger family. Why? Because you afflict it. The more afflicted, the more tomatoes it comes up. You know, what Exodus chapter 1 says, the more that we're afflicted, the more that multiply. Like brother, yeah, me, 8 children. Wow. I never thought I had 8 children. No chapter and verse in the Bible. But because we kept going and we go through the hardships, praise God, man, the pickup is full of tomatoes. I mean, souls are coming out of my ears. What a blessing, what a blessing. Second Peter, we close it up right there. Second Peter chapter 1. As you know, Peter, our brother Peter, like I am like him, he had a little problem with forgiveness. Because he was the only one, if you recall the Gospels, that he said what? Lord, how many times I have to forgive my brother? I mean, you know, the Lord didn't rebuke him. It looks like he didn't really understand what he was saying. Well, Peter, let's see, 70 times 7, how's that? What about 71 times? I mean, you think Peter stayed there with a pen and a piece of paper and marked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, count, you know, yeah, really. That means better. That means we have to always give and forgive. Forgive. And so because Peter finally let the Holy Spirit guide him, he got the victory, and And God had him to write two epistles in the New Testament. And I said, Peter, go ahead. Jot it down. Since you got the victory, you went through the test. Discipleship, look at this. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5. Starting verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Now done yet, it's getting worse. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Oh, which chair is going to do it? This chair, the judgment seat? The mercy seat, I don't think so, man. This seat's going to do it. That chair will never do it. You might do one time, you're going to be fake, very fake. Can't do that. I can't do that. I've tried many times, it won't work. It won't work, man. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. For if these things be in you, and brethren, that chair, the new man's got it all. It's got that. This guy don't got it. So, it's not matter, you know, I've been hearing in the past a lot of teaching, that I think that I'm going to get this chair, I'm going to get this old man, and somehow, you know, kind of mix it up with the new man. Gotta make. No. We gotta live this. The old man is what? Dead. All things have become new. All things have passed away. We are gonna bring this guy back here. For what? They're gonna get dirty. That guy gave us a big new truck here. Brand new. All comforts, you know, the Holy Ghost. Whole AC, air condition. They came up with a beat up F-150 1945 Ford. What is he going to do? So matter you walk in the spirit, just don't turn this truck on. Go over here and sit down here. And just put the key that God gave us, a brand new truck. Walk in the spirit, in the newness of life. I'm not going to get over there. There's a lot of preaching going on at that guy. You filthy! You disgust me! Yeah! What else do you expect from this guy? But not this guy. Let's build him up. Let's teach him. This guy. Let's teach this guy. I see that my children, they learn of me, not by preaching to them, but by teaching them. I said, my children, they get better in here and then here when I teach them. But when I scream with the top of my lungs, which I can do it, it doesn't do any good. Teaching. The same message. If your preacher streams at me for 45 minutes, from the top, all 45 minutes, not even 40, I mean 44, 43, all 45. Another brother, he tells me in a teaching way, I get better from this guy than that guy. The same message. The Jesus who he screamed when it was in the earth, to those by the seaside, blessed is, blessed that. Oh, he screamed just in the church, in the synagogues, to the bunch of Pharisees, amen. He didn't scream to the seaside, to the multitudes. He was moved with compassion. Brethren, if these things are being you and abound, and they are, brethren, we just got to get the new man. Feed him. Then make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, that chair right there, judgment seat, But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He is blind. Where there is no vision, people perish. Look into the field that is white unto the harvest. He is rotten, need labor, pray. Brethren, how can I pray to God to send forth labors when I am bitter? Brethren, how can I go out and give a gospel tracts out there when I'm bitter? How can I do that when I'm bitter? I'm blind. I cannot see afar off. So, brethren, ultimately, when a husband gets bitter, the husband, the wife, there is no relationship. The children, there is no family. They won't come to church. That means what? You cannot support missionaries. You cannot evangelize out there. You know, ultimately, who's going to have lost souls going to hell? Why do the heathen rage? Because us brethren we get bitter instead of get better. Brethren, what does that have to do with missions? Brethren, that's it. This is the missions. And how can I, if I'm bitter, I cannot worship God on Sunday morning. What Jesus said, he can worship God. It's supposed to be worship in spirit and truth. There is no worshiping. I cannot do that. I don't know about you, but I can't do it. So, I pray, brethren, if it's some of you tonight, maybe like Pastor was saying, maybe you, the reason you do not forgive, maybe because maybe you haven't forgiven yet. I don't really talk about your salvation, brethren. No, I don't. Check if you're in the faith. There's nothing wrong with that. Check if you're in it. I've been going to church all my life here. Okay, that's no problem. Praise the Lord. Amen. And God forgives you. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Even though we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for us. I encourage you tonight. Some of you, brother, sister, want to play a little invitation song? All right? Please stand up. Pastor, you want to take over yourself? Please sit down. Please stand up. The pastor knows what's going on. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And God bless you. Please forgive, forget, and be fruitful. Brethren, this is it. You don't even have to close your eyes. Amen. Please, Belinda, Lord, please. I have a hard time to work. Come to me. We'll pray together. I have a hard time, brother. Please, you did it. You went through it. Come, brother. I'll pray with you.